right, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified internist and addiction medicine specialist.
So we had a theme here. What's going on?
Nothing.
After the inspirational, those inspirational callers we had yesterday, you're ready to get back.
Yeah, it inspired me to almost kill myself today. Maybe a little lightning round tonight, huh?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of people need to know the surf.
No.
The weather.
No.
And the traffic. No.
You know, I was listening to a traffic report today, and I thought to myself, here is something that they always say that you've got to do.
Hold on, I'll write it down.
Ready?
Hold on. Yeah.
Mattress in lanes.
Oh, yeah.
Mattress.
Well, I like to see, I like it when the guys drive with the mattress on the roof of their car. First off, I always love it when a guy carries something in a car that the car was not meant to carry.
Yeah.
Like, I love a good gardener who's using a VW Bug. You know what I mean? He's got the back window blown out and the handle sticking out of it.
Right.
You don't see quite as much of that as you used to because I think trucks are a little easier to get hold of these days.
They're cracking down on that stuff, too.
But, yeah, and maybe they're pulling these guys over, but there was nothing better. You know what was the best is when a guy actually modified his car for work. Like the guy drove a 77 Vega, but he was a pool man, so he cut the hatchback off and put some plywood down and made it into a Vega flatbed.
Right.
I used to see that crap all the time. I was just talking to somebody about this, which was, think about all the weird crap you used to see. You used to see dune buggies.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You used to see those Baja bugs, which were the VW bugs.
Remember that?
No, no.
Oh, the Baja Bug. Yeah.
VW that was converted into essentially a sand rail. Big paddle tires and the engine hanging out of the back with a big stinger exhaust pipe that stuck 4 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Big long antenna with a flag on it. People used to drive around those three-wheel choppers. Remember those trikes? Some of them had, like, VW engines in them and stuff. Like, people used to just... You kids don't know about this, but I used to go out, and it was like being in the like some kind of Matchbox world or something.
You'd
be driving down the street, and some guy in a three-wheel chopper with a VW engine would pull up next to you.
Huge, what do you call that? That
big
that
fiberglass cowling in front, and the forks hanging out, his bitch on the back. And then guys would get crazy. He'd be sitting, his seat would be a whiskey barrel that was cut out with some foam in it. Guys used to make their own camper shells all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I see, like a big wooden camper shell on top of a mini truck. Yeah, those were the days.
That's a California thing, too, by the way.
But I like it when a guy's driving down the freeway with a mattress on the roof of his car and his hand is out holding it on.
Yeah.
That's brash. Doing 70 down the freeway with the arm. You know, it's like... I used to do this all the time, too, which is, yeah, it's tied on, but not that well. So I'll just give it a little supplemental hold down, which will be the hand that should be on the steering wheel. But that's all right. I can shift and drive with my right hand. No problem. All right. So maybe a little lightning round tonight. Because, you know, traffic, it can be slow and going. You got to watch out for those taillights or brake lights. Naomi?
Yeah?
You're 15. Drew, turn that fan the other way, yeah. The air conditioning screwed up, so we got the fan on in here. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to know if, okay, like when I masturbate, I use like a curling iron thing, kind of, sort of, because I have like different sizes.
Ouch!
What do you mean, kind of?
Like, I don't know how to put it. Like, do you think I would be loose from that, though?
No, there's no such thing.
Because I'm a virgin, though.
You would be if you opened up the curling iron. You know, they have that, like, prong thing on it.
So it's becomes like a speculum, like
speculum. It becomes a heated speculum, at a certain point.
What do you mean you have different sizes of curling iron?
What?
What do you mean you have different sizes of curling iron?
I have different, like, barrel sizes for, like, larger curls and smaller curls and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you're not talking about curly iron. Wait a minute.
Sometimes you're feeling elegant. Sometimes you're feeling sassy, Drew.
Are you talking about curlers or curling iron?
No, curling iron. Well, some have the bigger head on them, and some have the thinner head on them.
And what are you asking about this?
Do you think that would make me loose because I'm a virgin?
Nothing can make you loose.
Really?
Nothing.
So my boyfriend wouldn't notice that.
Right.
Loose is a state of mind.
Oh.
You understand, Naomi?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So, what about your boyfriend? What are you using the curling iron on yourself for?
I don't know, because I don't want to get pregnant, you know, because my cousin, man, and my sister, they're hoochies.
Yeah.
They've got kids like my age.
Oh, right. Oh. So they should have used a curling iron, is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, of course.
Is she it trying to solder herself clothes? Is that what she's saying?
She's cauterizing her vagina.
Yeah. I got another question, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Whose curling iron is it?
It's mine.
All right.
But I put a condom over it just in case, like bacteria or something.
Oh, you do?
You're not plugging it in or anything.
True. Hold on a second. How distressed would you be as a parent to walk into a room, look under a bed, and see a curling iron with a condom rolled over the end of it?
You know how much denial parents have? You'd think, oh, how sanitary. She's thinking.
Yeah, but you'd think, wait a minute, if she plugged that in and it heated up, it would melt that condom.
I'll have to talk to her about that.
Then you'd give it a little sniff. You'd have to. You have to sniff anything you find under a bed, Drew. Dog takes a crap under a bed, you pull it out, you give it a whiff. Naomi?
Yeah?
What's your second question?
Okay. My cousin, she's like 40-something, she's got hepatitis C.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, is that airborne? Or is
no.
It like,
you have to share a needle with her or have sex with her.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, okay. But she's an IV drug user, right?
No, she got it from her husband.
Who, he was an IV drug user.
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right, Naomi, don't let this new guy get you pregnant.
Oh, I won't.
That's the only thing in life that'll really screw you up.
That's the good news about the curling iron, right?
Right. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Oh, listen. Wait. Naomi, tie the cord around your ankle like a surfboard leash.
Why? So,
well,
so you don't get lost up there.
You don't want to lose it in you.
Okay.
Saying?
What's your other, what's what?
Dr. Drew, you know how you were doing that one show called, Women Are From Venus?
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, I know.
Is that still going?
In some cities, strangely.
Because of, like, I used to watch it all the time.
Oh.
And now it's, like, not on. I can never find it anymore.
It's a couple cities still play it, but it's basically not on.
She's going to have to move.
Yeah, write Sony Pictures. Complain.
Yeah. Use the ballpoint pen that's on the back of the curling iron. They should make a Swiss Army curling iron. This one had some nail clippers, a file.
Sure. Different sizes of curls.
Is, who are we speaking to? Lore here? Lore?
Yeah.
Hello? Yes.
Hi.
You're 34. What's
up? I am. I have a question. Well, actually, first of all, with Drew, I took your advice. You had said a couple of weeks ago about you're a bad parent if you let your child sleep with you.
Mm-hmm. I didn't say you're a bad parent.
Well,
that's not a good idea.
You're not doing the parenting gig.
Right. You're not doing your job.
Yeah. And so I took your advice. I was like, oh, my gosh, Drew said this. And so... It was a breeze.
Yeah. Good. Oh, good.
Isn't that exciting?
That is nice.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so thank you very much for that.
Well, when you say sleep with, you mean having sex, right? Or you mean...
No.
That's not usually part of the parenting gig, Adam.
I know
your family.
I don't have kids. I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we were untraditional, so all bets
no doubt.
Adam?
Yes?
This is for you. I'm going to California. Da-da-da. In March of next year.
Uh-huh.
And
hold on, let me get my calendar out. Yes, about what time? What flight number, please?
Oh, I don't know yet. But listen, this is serious. There's so many places that you say are like hell's waiting room.
Right.
And the pits, I want to know where to go. Because last year I went to San Diego and it was freezing. It was miserable.
Really?
I mean, lovely, yet miserable.
Right. Right.
Oh,
well,
stop.
What is your coming out here to do?
Just on a vacation with my son. He's 5.
I see. Yeah. Well, now, see, what I always talk about is the cities that are named, such as Hawaiian Gardens and...
Garden Grove.
Right, and Lakeview Terrace and places like that.
Sunland.
Yeah.
Sunland is a dangerous dump, just like Hawaiian Gardens is a dangerous dump.
Right.
But if you were coming from out of state, you'd say, the hotel... It's in Hawaiian Gardens. Well, it'll be a little slice of paradise.
Right.
But reality is, it's a hellhole.
Right.
Yeah, and I've said, you know, I was saying to somebody, Drew, putting Laura on hold here, you know what I think we ought to do? I think it's too confusing. It's a big tourist town. I mean, Southern California. I think we ought to give cities numbers.
Rankings?
Yeah, it's a rank. It's a number. I don't know. I don't know if Beverly Hills or Universal City or Santa Monica. I don't know what's number one.
Yeah.
You know, Brentwood, number one. And it just keeps going down.
Mm.
And if there's whatever the jurisdiction is, if there's 130 cities, then number one's the best and 130's the worst. And now when you're coming from Minnesota, and you're thinking about swinging by Hawaiian Gardens, and then you take a look, 129.
Think again.
Followed only by Sunland. Right. Mm-hmm. You think again. Well, why not? Plus, it gives the city some incentive. You know, it's like, hey, fellas, we're 116. We got to crack the 100.
But I tell you, what do people come to Los Angeles for?
I don't know.
Why don't you ask what she intends to do here?
But wouldn't it be cool? And that way you could do that power play on people, too, where they would go like, where you live? I'm number 37. Interesting. I'm 19. Yeah. Got a place. Well, I'm right on the border between 19 and 22, but I'm still in 19.
We'll start to get it tattooed on their arms.
Yeah. Little scanner codes. Mm-hmm. What a utopia. All right. So are you on board with my numbers thing?
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I'm just curious why they would come out here.
Plus, it'd be easier to find stuff, too. It's easier to remember where number 3 is or number 17 is in Hawaiian Gardens. Not even by the beach, right?
No.
Okay.
With a 5-year-old.
Hey, Laura?
Yeah. Where do I go?
Just coming out here for a vacation?
Yeah.
What, like to hang out by the beach, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, exactly. I went to San Diego last year, like I said, and the beach was full of, like, glass and rocks, and it was freezing.
Yeah.
It was miserable.
It's not real hot during, you know, March yeah. sometimes.
Anywhere?
Well, listen, here's what I would do. I'd go north.
Oh, please.
And I'd go not north from where you are.
Oh,
you,
okay.
You being Canada, but I,
north to Alaska. Come on, the rush is on.
Yeah, like go to San Francisco.
Jesus, I sound good when I sing with myself.
Yeah.
Gong.
Yeah. Hey, no, yeah, come out here and go to like Hearst Castle or something.
Just go to San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco or something with a sand in it. You know what I mean? Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go see the redwoods.
San Diego has a sand in it.
Yeah, but that's
that doesn't count.
San Diego's great.
That's S A N D. This is S A N. You see what I'm saying, Drew?
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. San Diego.
All right.
Smart guy.
You guys rule.
Thanks baby. Yeah. Anyone who thinks they're coming out here, I'm telling you, go to San Simeon or something. Oh, there's another sand. Yeah, go see Hearst Castle.
Why?
Go to San Francisco.
San Francisco.
I don't want them coming here. That's why. They're pain in my ass. Rachel?
Hi.
Hey, you're 18. What's up?
Okay. You guys have probably heard this before, but I'm 18 years old. I've been with my boyfriend for 10 months, and I can't have an orgasm. And I've never had one in my entire life. And I don't want to, like, do it on my own. I don't want to masturbate or anything.
Go to Hearst Castle.
Why? How do you expect to figure it out if you don't do that?
Well, see, I don't feel, like, comfortable doing it on my own. I wanted it to be with, like, you know, him while I was, you know, trying, you know, to do that, to have an orgasm.
Well, you didn't answer a question, which is, why is it so uncomfortable for you to do it on your own? I mean, why do you sort of feel like you have to justify it?
I don't know.
I mean, so it's like, if it's sexual, it's okay if it's with a partner, but if it's sexual on your own, then it's kind of dirty or naughty or something?
No, not so much that. It's just...
Well, then do it. Then do it. Do it on your own.
You got to remember, for many women, it just doesn't, like, make sense. I know it's hard for you to grasp that, but it's like something that isn't sort of a normal kind of an impulse.
I don't know. Hey, Rachel?
Yeah.
Ask what the boyfriend's capable of. What,
does he give you the oral sex?
Yeah, but it doesn't really, like, get me excited or anything.
Does he know what he's doing?
Oh, yeah. It just doesn't.
Yeah. It's wonderful. I just don't get excited.
He's great. He may be the best.
It's nice, but it just...
I'm dry as wax paper down there, but he's the best.
But see, my question was, is that when I was younger, I was molested.
Oh,
and I want to know if that had anything to do with it.
Yes.
Yep.
A lot.
Who did this to you?
An older cousin of mine.
Just one time?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 11.
Mm-hmm. Did he actually have sex with you?
No, it was just a kind of like a groping kind of thing.
Nah, that's
that's actually healthy.
Yeah, that's not going to necessarily do anything to you.
So Rachel, what's up? I mean, maybe you're thinking about this cousin. How old was your cousin when you were 11?
He was in his 20s.
Ooh, gross!
What a dynamite dude!
What's he doing now?
I don't know. No one's seen him in a long time.
Good.
Shocking.
Yeah. I hope his car broke down. He was hitchhiking by the side of the road, and a semi just clipped him. And, you know, broke him.
Yeah.
And he laid there in pain for a few hours and then eventually bled to death.
Yeah, he used to live with us, and he got kicked out because I think he tried to do the same thing to my sister. So.
You know what's really weird, Drew, and I don't know why this is, but what is it, and what is it that's even scarier, dicier, and weirder about a guy in his mid-20s who's feeling up his 11-year-old and almost feeling up? You know, it's like trying to cop a feel. It's, for some reason, it's more egregious than just traditional intercourse and molestation.
Well, you're having trouble getting the motivation. I mean, what's the impulse there?
Yeah, like, I'm going to grab some preformed boob. You know, it's like, there's something that's a little too casual about it, too. Like, hey, come on, baby, don't be uptight. It's like, oh, Jesus. Hey, Rach?
Yeah.
All right, baby. Well, this didn't ruin you, this cousin thing, but having the kind of family that would spawn a guy like this, maybe
keep him around.
Something. Well, they kicked him out eventually.
All right, but then, you know, look, he has to be able to perform oral sex properly. She's got to experiment maybe with a shower head.
Yeah.
Or the bathtub.
Yeah. Right. And you're 18. She seems a little
slower
than a lot.
Most 18-year-olds are right about where Rachel is.
Right.
The plumbing isn't working right yet. The whole central nervous system connection with this doesn't quite make sense yet.
Right.
It takes a while.
There. Let's talk to Nathan. Nathan.
Yes.
You're 20.
Yep.
What's up?
Man, I have no idea. I have I read in an encyclopedia, I guess, because I was curious as to why at 20 years old I have a problem keeping it up sometimes. You know, I mean, there's no logical reason for that to me.
When you're having sex?
Well, very rarely. I was a virgin when I got married. And, I mean, never done anything. And, you know, I molested.
You what?
Wait, you were never molested? What'd you say?
No, lasted? I lasted a long, you know, I mean, pretty good while for a virgin, I thought. My wife was going down on me, and, I mean, I didn't get off. I mean, she was probably going down on me for like 15 minutes.
Okay, so hold on now, Nathan.
Okay.
Are you losing your erection, or are you unable to have an orgasm?
No, that's what I say. I think that's when it started, is because I couldn't. In my mind, I was thinking, why am I not finishing? Why am I not finishing? And then finally, on our honeymoon, of all things, you know, my wife's older than me, and, you know, she married this young guy, and, you know, it's going, you know, it's just dropping. It's losing its hardness, you know, and it's frustrating to me. It's frustrating to her, and I can't seem to make
sense. I'll answer my own question. You're losing your erection.
Yeah.
Yes.
It became.
But it's because you're having difficulty with the orgasm.
Right. That's where the sort of obsession kicked in.
I'm sorry.
I'm just talking to Nathan. I'm getting anxious. I lose an erection talking to him for 3 minutes.
I still got mine, buddy.
Okay.
I'm going to use it on Drew during the commercial.
Nathan, your sexual function doesn't work when you're uptight, when you're anxious, when you're preoccupied. Things don't work.
Right. Well, that's what I say. I mean, now it's the point where I lose it because I'm thinking about that I can't lose it.
That's right. You're like thinking about losing it, so you lose it. It's called anticipatory anxiety. This is all about being nervous.
Right. Okay, I agree with that. But I don't know what to do about it.
Drew, I'm going to... Who paid you, Drew?
It's 1019.
All right.
We begged for them to call.
I'm still going to punch them. Hey, Nathan?
Yes. Drew,
okay, leave the... All right.
What?
There's no vibrate on that pager.
No.
And is it just acceptable for you to have that thing go off almost on a nightly basis?
Is it acceptable to me?
Yes.
I wish I had some choice.
You don't think you have a choice?
No.
You don't think you can set it in the other room and check it during the commercial break?
Yeah, we could do that.
Oh, shocking. Hey, Nathan?
Yes.
Why were you a virgin for so long?
Religious. I'm a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
So you got some.
Well, you know, it's not what everybody says, but you know,
no, I
say the thing is that, you know, I mean, I never had a problem before, obviously. Well, I mean, that I knew of, obviously. But regardless of virgin or not or whatever, it doesn't make any sense to me that at 20 years old, I should even have to worry about it when my wife is
But hold on. See, you say at 20 years old, and yeah, but you got a 14-and-a-half-year-old penis. It's not a 20-year-old penis. You were a virgin until a few months ago.
Well, and a sort of handicapped 14-and-a-half-year-old penis.
Yeah, here's the deal. 20-year-old men are good to go and have a boner that lasts longer than taffy. But that's because they've been going at it since they were 15.
Right.
So his penis is essentially where 15-year-olds is, and that can be a little tricky. He's married. He's got to work it out.
He is so anxious. That anxiety has got to go. And if he has no internal resource to reduce that anxiety, he needs to see someone, because this ain't going away. If he is that nervous and that preoccupied and that obsessional, nothing's going to work.
Hold on. Jehovah is not going to let you see somebody, Drew.
Oh, is that right?
Unless it's Jehovah. I don't think so. I mean, you got to see somebody in the church or something. I don't think you get to go to people and know what they're doing. You have to go to molesters with high school educations. Uh-huh. We want real help. So here's the deal. Just work it out with your wife. And I think Jehovah let him drink a glass of wine. Has Jehovah let you drink now?
Witnesses have never been against drinking. That's Baptist.
Okay, good. All right. Have yourself a glass of red wine and calm yourself before you go into battle next. It's all right. And Drew, turn that fan the other way, please. We're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we're going to go talk to someone from Bakersfield.
Oh, yeah. That's always good.
Now, see, there's a city that would not crack the Corolla 100. Not by a long shot.
Not ever, probably.
No, it...
Well, you'd have a separate category for cities like that, wouldn't you?
Bakersfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, like King of the Dumps.
Well, you have to have Riverside and Bakersfield.
No. See, to me, they would just go way down on the list, so people who are traveling knew. Riverside sounds great. Bakersfield, both sounds great, right?
Yeah.
Do you know how many whorehouses and nudie bars you'd have to put into Bakersfield just to get it up to, like, into the 70s?
Oh.
They'd have to start opening two-story nudie bars. Okay. Well, see, we got a nudie bar on the bottom. There's a bar in the middle. And there's a nudie bar on top, and then there's a coin-op car wash that's on top of that.
Sports bar in the basement.
A sports bar in the basement. All right. Well, and we sell hobby goods, model airplanes, glue, stuff like that, motors, stuff like that, and high-performance auto parts. We have a high-performance bookstore at the top. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. Travis will be in here next week. And Tony Hawk. This guy turns skateboarding into a billion-dollar-a-year industry.
Isn't that wild?
Jesus Christ, skateboarding. It's like some kind of... It's a novelty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
Giant industry under him.
Yeah, You want an example of getting rich, doing what you want to do as long as you're the best at it?
Mm-hmm.
Skateboarding, for Christ's sake. How the hell do you get... How do you build an empire on your skateboard?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. All right. He's a good guy, though. And it really
nice guy, yeah.
Yeah, you're glad. Kathy?
Yes?
I mean, I'm not, but one would be glad. You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I masturbate 4 times a day, and I wanted to know if that's a problem.
Well, I'm thinking about gambling.
Yeah.
Think about gambling?
It's almost a gimme.
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah. You want to gamble?
I don't have any money with me.
Yeah? You don't have any money with you?
No.
Where is it?
In the car. You can send me out to the car. At the break.
At the break, you go to the car. All right. You ready?
All right, you know, I get, maybe me first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Chronic chaos in the home. Something happened, sexual abuse, something like that, or four.
Sexual?
All right, but not bad, just sort of chronic drug, alcohol, chaos in the home, both parents.
Uh-huh, so she's so chaotic, she has to sort of retreat in her own masturbatory world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And she sounded like a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So she did sound about 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the sexual abuse. She's really into the sex. But maybe it was just the alcoholic dad who split, an abusive stepdad. And,
all right. All right. Safe bet.
No sexual abuse per se. Kathy?
Yeah?
Let's talk about your past.
My dad's not an alcoholic. He was a druggie.
Drug addict. Good.
That covers, though.
How about mom?
That'll cover that bet.
My mom, she was a police officer.
That's how they met.
What was the
sting operation?
What was home like?
Huh?
What was your home life like?
My real dad, he was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And, my stepdad, he's a druggie, too. He's in a rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody sexually abuse you?
No.
Never?
Never.
When did your real dad leave?
It was like 4 or 5.
Hmm.
That makes sense.
Do you know why he left?
Yeah.
Why?
He abused my mom and he was a druggie.
Mm. All right.
Didn't
well,
do anything to you, though.
That's so far what my mom told me.
Hmm.
All right, so listen, I'm taking the money because I ironically said it sounded like she was 4 or 5. Yeah. Drew picked 4,
yeah,
too, and it sounds like where she got locked in. Her yeah. dad then left at 4 or 5.
Yeah,
I said original
stepdad.
I said original alcoholic dad left, and abusive stepdad stepped in.
I'll give you the money,
probably
but
not too far from
yeah,
it.
I'll give you the money, but this is like chronic chaos in the home,
yeah,
which is what I said originally too.
But
I'll give you the money nonetheless. Your own money back.
No, I want your money.
I'll get it.
Cheap half Jew, Dr. Bastard. I mean, listen, how dare you, Drew? Yes, it's chaos. We always know it's chaos.
No, but this is like chronic, you know,
yeah,
awful
but
home situation.
Still, that's such a blanketing
you're
bet.
Right,
you have
right.
to get more.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to get more into it. I got a little bit. It's.
I bet he left because he'd done something weird to her, too.
Well, it's possible.
We
but
can't get
she's well, she's not a closed book.
No.
She doesn't.
No, she just doesn't remember.
Well, okay, but that's part of the betting.
Yeah, I understand. That's why you win.
Yeah, thank you.
Even though I'm right.
Even if you are right, I'm still right-er. I worked
given
the stepdad in and the booze and, the drugs.
All right.
And, all right. Kathy? Drew
yeah.
is rarely right. Go ahead. I'm sorry, baby.
Why are you guys guessing that I'm 4 or 5?
Well, you're no.
We get an instinct from listening to people's voices of what age the sort of real trauma hit.
That's and not my real voice. I have to whisper because I'm grounded.
Yeah, it's your real voice.
No, it's not.
No, Kathy, it's how your voice makes us feel. Then let's put it that way.
Okay, fine, and, whatever.
Okay, well,
said that.
Listen, how come Drew said 4 and I said 4 or 5, and then we asked you when it came to a head and when your dad left, and you said you were 4 or 5? Doesn't seem like a coincidence.
I don't know. That's the stage that he left.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Hmm.
So, what's going on? Doing all that masturbating, huh? Do you have a boyfriend?
I used to, but I dumped him for this other guy. And I still don't have the guts to go up to him.
Well,
I think that's one of the reasons why I'm doing it so many times.
What do you mean no. you don't have the guts to go up to him?
I don't have the guts to go up to him and tell him that I like him.
Oh, you dumped him for another guy that you haven't talked to.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But you're masturbating a lot because you lived in chaos and a very traumatic upbringing. And that's what people do, that sort of becomes sexualized. Sex becomes a way of managing affect, maybe escaping from those awful feelings.
All right, hold on. Let me talk to Drew for a second.
Yeah.
Listen.
You won't understand any of this.
Yeah, here's what yeah. I'm saying. Let's go on damage control.
All right, all right. Don't get pregnant. Let's give her a birth control talk. All right?
yeah, I mean, what we got to do is put a thumb in this diet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We ain't going to rebuild it. You understand? We need to
it's
stop.
It's not possible.
Stop the hemorrhage. This is a triage thing.
No, this is save the town. Don't worry about the diet.
Okay. Hey, Drew just called you a lesbian, by the way. Hey, Kathy?
Yeah?
Okay, listen. You've been through a lot in your life, right?
Yeah.
And you've got your bad stepdads and your bad dad and your crazy mom and all this chaos.
Where's my bourbon?
What's that?
My mom's not crazy.
Well,
she picks these bad guys.
She's picking.
And I don't know where you put your bourbon.
She's picking weird guys and bringing them home. Okay.
Yeah, but
okay.
My mom and my stepdad have been together for like 7 years and got married April 10th, 1999. And so they know each other pretty well until now.
Just keep going out of breath control. Stay focused. Okay, stay focused.
Hey, Kathy?
It's raining bullets now.
Stop. Could you stop inanely rambling, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Here's what you need to do in life. You need to not masturbate so much. I can't believe I'm saying that to someone. You need to get your grades good in school, and you need to be real careful around boys, okay?
Not get taken advantage of by them.
Don't
be abused by them.
Don't take advantage of you, and
don't
let them
get
you pregnant.
Do not get pregnant.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Do you have a plan?
I'm a virgin.
All right.
Good.
Excellent.
Good.
Do you have
a lesbian?
Should something happen with a guy?
Not a lesbian.
Should something happen with a guy? Do you have a plan for how you're going to avoid a pregnancy?
Yeah, called condoms or don't do it.
All right. And if the condom should break, there's a morning after pill. There's a pill you can take within 3 days of that happening that'll prevent the pregnancy from occurring also, okay?
Okay.
All right.
So morning after pill.
Now, you be careful of those guys, and you don't get pregnant, all right?
Okay.
And you get your grades up, and you move far, far away from Bakersfield. Do you understand?
Far away. I'm moving to Oregon.
Yeah, okay, good.
Keep going. Not sure that's far enough.
Maybe all the way to Canada.
It's funny how you go from one Bakersfield to another one.
Listen, I know the folks from Bakersfield, if they knew how to dial a phone, would be calling and upset at the things I say about them. But does anyone ever disappoint from Bakersfield?
Never.
Is that place just the biggest trash heap you've ever conceived of?
I don't know.
Of?
Amongst the calls we get, it suggests that.
Judging from the 200 people we've spoken to who live in Bakersfield.
In the last month.
You know what? I now, when I fly, I will not fly over Bakersfield.
Oh, no, that make them...
Divert.
Divert, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, those pussies in France wouldn't let us fly over there. It's airspace.
Yeah.
I would not fly over that.
I like the idea of her going up to Corvallis, though. That scares me, too.
I look at it as sort of the Devil's Triangle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even planes went down in the Devil's Triangle.
Well, just on the off chance that you'd have to make an emergency landing, you sure as hell wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, you'd be in Bakersfield. That's right. Jeremy? Jeremy?
Yes, I'm here.
You're 20. What's up?
Hey, I just found a legal way to get it over the internet, human growth hormones, as compared to steroids.
All right.
Because I am 20, and they say my growing plates are still open, and so that way I can possibly still grow taller to help me out my basketball career if I'm going to have one.
Wait a minute. Growth hormone basically just accelerates the closure of your growth plates. There's evidence that it ultimately makes you shorter than you're going to be.
How tall are you now?
Well, I'm 6'2 now, almost 6'3. I'd say 6'2 and a half, and I don't think I'm growing anymore.
Yeah, well, you're 20. That's what happens when you get to be 20.
But there are many, many, many people who have still had growth spurts after age 20.
That's true.
Yeah, they're usually guys that are 6'7", and they get up to 6'9".
Well, there can be large growth spurts, and people have very late puberty.
The puberty growth happens.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing is, I have not truthfully hit my full puberty.
All right.
I'm a man. I'm married, but I'm not covered in body hair yet.
Drew, when you were 20, how much body hair did you have on you?
Zero.
Thank you. Now he has 0.1%. Yeah, he's a chick. Hey, listen, Jeremy.
Yes.
I just think this is a semi-retarded plan.
Here's the way I'm looking at it. I'm not going to grow anymore at normal rate.
Yeah.
One shot is to grow, it would be to get these human growth hormones and stimulate them.
Well, let's say you do that. So what do you do? Squeeze another 5/8 of an inch out of yourself?
Meantime, you get something called acromegaly, which is a disease. It's a disease. You can become diabetic. There'd be a whole mess from taking too much growth hormone.
Now, instead of, 6'2 and a half and healthy, you're 6'3 and an eighth and unhealthy.
A mess.
And either way, you got no game.
You can get dissections.
Well, have you heard of human growth hormones going wrong? I mean, I know a lot of bodybuilders are on it.
Absolutely can go wrong. Look up acromegaly on the web and read about what that is, which is a endogenous growth hormone produced by your pituitary gland in excess and the disease that it creates.
Okay, hey. Well, what steroid out there is safe? Because I heard the lady earlier on the Chicago Air who said she had the nasal problem, and she took the steroid while she was going through surgery, and she gained 100 pounds.
Yeah, that's corticosteroid. You're interested in anabolic or androgenic steroids.
What's the difference?
Corticosteroid is a mineralocorticoid and glucocorticoid. These are two completely different kinds of hormones than what he's interested in.
Hey, Jeremy, hold on. Just wait a second. Do you really think you're going to play some pro ball? Are you going to translate this into some dollars?
Well, the thing is, if I can make the team.
What team?
Arizona State University is where I'm transferring to.
Right.
And if I can actually make the team and hold my own, I will get a full scholarship, and that's going to save me quite a bit of money.
All right, but that'll be based on your talents. I mean,
well, saving you money.
Great talents.
All right, well,
saving you money.
You're fine.
And versus risking your life, is that?
No. Listen, I understand what he's saying. He's, you know, he's taking a chance. But my thing is, if the guy was a good ball player, then he'll go there and he'll make the team. I mean, here's the deal: basketball of all sports,
still,
it's so much about fluidity, rhythm, vertical. Vertical leap, hand-eye coordination. It's just, it's all about touch. You know, I mean, steroids may even F you up a little bit in that game. So you either...
I mean, the growth hormone can close the sort of the holes that your nerves come out of, from your skull, for instance. It can choke them off, can affect the way nerves are functioning, so you won't be able to have that touch.
Yes, you either got that or you don't. So if he does, he's fine. And
carpal
if he doesn't,
tunnel.
He's fine. Either way, this is not going to make a difference. And you give yourself the opportunity to do damage to yourself. Catherine?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
All right. I have a pretty severe allergic reaction to latex. And I was wondering if there's any type of condom on the market that's non-latex. That's
a you're only, animal skin. You're only looking into that right now?
I have animal skin. Thank you.
Why not the animal skin?
Why not the animal skin? Because it doesn't provide as good a protection.
She's a vegetarian. Write that down, Drew.
I'm from Berkeley.
Oh, write that down. So vegetarian. You get it? Why not animals?
Not only that.
Vegetarian. I'm calling Jimmy.
But
he's going to laugh.
Is this with a single partner or with new people?
Well, that kind of depends on my current situation.
Vegetarian.
What is your... Okay, I'm going to ask it differently.
All right.
What is your current situation?
My current situation, I am with somebody. However, if that doesn't work out, then I could possibly in the future be with multiple partners, in which case, yes, I am on the birth control pill. However, if I need a backup method because of antibiotics or if I miss a day.
Well, more importantly, if you're having multiple partners in whom you don't know their history, you got to use it for STD protection, then that would be polyurethane.
Okay.
Why is that funny?
Hey, condescending chuckle before...
Why is that funny?
After everyone's sentence.
I'm sorry?
You're sorry.
No, why is there a condescending chuckle? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, he says, what about polyurethane? And you're like...
all I know is that there's a substance called nitrile, and I was wondering if that's something that's a... No. Used as a condom.
What about the polyurethane?
Is that latex?
No.
That's polyurethane.
Okay.
That's a different barrier, but it'll work.
It's as effective as latex.
Yeah. So probably a little bit more, but you could, you know, handle that, right?
Okay.
I mean, you're worth it.
Does that have any irritant on it, like a powder or anything?
There's different brands. I'm sure you can get it without that.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Polyurethane. They'll have it everywhere, right, Drew?
Yep.
Hi, baby. Good times.
Thanks. You too.
Take care.
Bye.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. I'm going to call Jimmy and tell him vegetarian. He'll get a good laugh out of that.
No, call him in the air.
Yeah, he'll probably not be.
No. I just want to hear if he actually laughs when you say he's going to laugh at your stuff.
Oh, really?
Somebody who really appreciates the humor. I want to see how they truly, truly react.
Well, let me call him in advance
No.
All right. We'll call Jimmy Kimmel when we come back.
Hi, this is Dave Navarro. You're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Oh, that's right. That's what Dave Navarro said.
Mm-hmm.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Last break, Drew suggested we call Jimmy Kimmel, my funny partner.
Dr. Drew's a born solid funny physician.
That's right.
That's him. Mm-hmm. You know him from the... Fox pregame show and, of course, the Man Show and Win Ben Stein's Money. And the guy's really taken off. It's left me in the dust. But I made a joke I thought was funny. Didn't seem to amuse Drew or Anne or Anderson. I
forgot what it was. All right.
Tara, well, don't call me Tara.
But you're going to tell it to Jimmy.
Yeah, I'll tell it to Jimmy.
Someone who truly appreciates your humor.
Well, he knows comedy.
Yeah, so we'll watch the reaction of a real comedy concert.
Well, we'll call him up. He's probably not at home.
All right, there he is.
We got him on Lindsay.
We got him? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That's good. That's what I love about Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
When have I not been at home?
That's true. All right, so I made this really funny joke.
Yeah?
You know, kind of a punny joke. I know you like the puns.
I do like them, man.
And Drew didn't even crack a smile. He just kept moving. And I said Jimmy would have laughed.
That's so unlike him.
I know.
Well, what really got him is he looked across the window here at the peanut gallery, the people in the control room.
Yeah.
Groupers.
It's true. You might as well have an aquarium there. I think you get more laughs.
Yeah, Moray Eel has a better look on its face than producer Ann.
Well, what was it?
Well, we had this chick call from Berkeley. Get ready with the hi-hat here, Anderson, please. We had this chick. She called from Berkeley. She was a little bit uptight. She said she didn't want to use a latex condom. And Drew said, well, what about animal skin? And she said, I don't know. And Drew said, well, what's wrong with animal skin? And I said, maybe she's a vegetarian. You see? You hear that laugh?
That's BS.
Vegetarian. That's funny, right, buddy?
That's great. And let me tell you one of my all-time favorite Adam pun jokes. We were on vacation with the Juggy Dance Squad, and one of them injured her leg and it was bleeding. And Adam goes, here, let me squirt a little Jack Teen on that.
I forgot about the Jack Teen. Well, now Drew's laughing. Maybe it's the delivery.
No, it's who says it.
I laughed for about 3 days.
Jack Teen, that's right.
No, I'm with you on the vegetarian.
Yeah, because it works with the animal skin and the Berkeley and everything.
Oh, definitely.
Jack Teen.
Jack Teen. Oh, my
God. That's funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you had to be there.
I'm trying to watch Deuce Bigelow.
Oh, okay. No. good times. I'm coming over tomorrow.
Okay, just don't come over tonight.
No, don't worry.
Okay.
All right, thanks, buddy. Right. Thanks for the laugh. Genius. Genius. No greater connoisseur of comedy than Jimmy Kimmel. Star maker, Jimmy Kimmel. That's right. All right, so there. Oh, Jack Teen. That's funny. See how much funnier I am when I'm not on the air, Drew?
You're right.
Yeah, let's help the kitties. All right. Jack Teen. Michelle?
Hello?
Yeah, Jack Teen and vegetarian. Come on, that's genius. Will Rogers, what's he got on me?
Hi, Michelle, what's up?
Hi, Dr. Drew, this is actually more for you, I guess. I'm dating a guy who's in recovery for drug abuse, and he's been clean for a year. And we've been dating for about 5 months. And I'm just wondering if you have any advice, because at this point, I kind of feel sort of emotionally ignored, and I've never dated anybody that's gone through recovery before.
Well, now you're talking about him as though the recovery started when your relationship, during your relationship, but he was already well into it, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was
referring to it as gone through recovery. Has he relapsed?
Well, no, actually, he's been in and out of recovery for a long time.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Like he's sort of reconnected with recovery recently, and he's had to work at it, and you've sort of felt left behind by that.
Not so much left behind because, you know, it's sort of a new relationship, I guess. But
so what have you felt?
Well, yeah, I guess when we first started dating, it was that sort of typical, you know, just excitement of dating some, you know, new situation. And but within the last maybe about a month and a half, he's just maybe I think it's become because he's coming on a year. He feels like he's supposed to feel really optimistic about it, and he's kind of let down, like he's not feeling very positive about it, and he's getting worried that he's not going to make it.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that goes into getting through that milestone of 1 year, but that's his business. How do you feel with the work he's doing right now?
Well, lately, whenever we get together, for the first, like, hour and a half, he'll just be kind of going off about, you know, I don't know, just feeling like he wants to get high and just like the emotional trauma that he's going through with that.
All right, so you're having trouble just dealing with a guy that's ambivalent and chaotic and having difficulty containing his impulse. Sounds like he is getting high, frankly. That kind of thinking and blurting it out all the time and preoccupying about it.
How old is he?
He's 31.
Yeah.
What's the drug of choice?
Actually, yeah, he was doing heroin and crack and...
I'm suspicious he's using myself. But maybe that's what you're experiencing. Maybe that's the reason you feel like things are just sort of falling apart, is that he's sort of abandoning, because he's abandoning you to the drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to kind of ask yourself why you got hooked up with this guy.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, it seems, she's 30 years old. She sounds intelligent.
Well, here's what it's going to take if this is going to work, probably, is he has to spend... He's a heroin addict. It takes a lot of time. His life depends upon his recovery. I've had a whole bunch of patients die recently, and so it really reminds me how deadly this disease is.
So do you have to get the family to pay at that point? Was that uncomfortable?
Yeah.
How do you broach that?
But I'll tell you at the break.
All right.
But it's that he's got to focus on it. A lot of his energy has got to go into that. And you have to support that, and you have to go to Al-Anon, and you have to grow and focus on your own work. Just feeling that, you know, being left behind by him and that he's changing and moving away, all that is no good. You're going to kill him if you stay focused on that.
All right.
Or it may be that he's in his drugs now, and that's what you're feeling.
Vegetarian.
That's Jack Teen.
All right. We'll be back. Okay. Oh, hey. You know, I always expect to start talking when it,
You're hip.
I could be in this band.
You're hip.
I could be in System of a Down. All right. All right, here it comes. Chicken with a mom and a pop and a ha. Chicken with a mom and a pop and a. And I think if I had a whole sea of kids like banging their head in front of me, I'd really get into it. Yeah, there you go, Damien. All right. Hey, Kenneth.
Yeah, what's up, gentlemen?
Hey, you're 18. What's going on?
Yeah, I kind of have a multi kind of question, but it all ties into one. And I guess I have to give you my, you know, situation in order for you to understand my question.
It better be clearer and shorter, however, though, than the way you posed the...
All right. My question is that, you know, it seems like I'm always, you know, just a stable point for women. And instead of dating, they seem to just look at me as a...
You ever ask them out?
Yeah. But they'll be like, oh, well, you know, we're so close.
But did you ask them out ever at the beginning of the relationship, not once you're in a friendship?
Well, yeah. But
straight out of the blocks, you've asked a few out and just no.
Well, I asked a few and then I haven't asked a few, you know. You just kind of, you know, it becomes really depressing, you know, after a while.
No.
But so in spite of asking them out and trying to get a relationship going, they immediately size you up as friend.
Most of the time. And I'm just wondering, man, what's my problem? You know, I make...
When is it that it doesn't happen?
Lately, that seems to be all that is.
Yeah, but I understand. Yeah, I understand you can't see it anyway, then it's always that way. But it's not always that way. So when it isn't, what's the difference?
What do you mean exactly?
Well, you know how women are? They're like guys who work at a used car lot. And if they see you coming in there looking a little confused with money hanging out of your pocket and you don't know anything and you got that just fell off the turnip truck look, they just take you to the cleaners.
Yeah, well, I'm a pilot, and I'm not exactly, like, stupid, you know. I am very smart. You know?
No, I don't mean stupid. I just mean when a woman, when you come and approach a... Shut up. When you approach a woman from a position of sort of putting a question mark behind everything.
Right,
it's
I'm going to be friend again, or let me detail your van. You may start out with that.
They don't respond well to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They respond well to a sort of calm, steady confidence.
And that's like, seems like they're always using me for that, because, I mean, if they have problems with their boyfriend, they always run to me.
Now, why do you put up with that?
I don't know, man. I just...
Well,
like,
there you go.
Where do you... Because I'm too nice or something.
Where do you meet women?
Well, I meet them at, like, malls, you know, just everyday general stuff.
I still want my question answered. When it hasn't gone into friend, what was different about those relationships?
To be honest with you, it's always been friend and then turned into something. It's never been...
You've never been able to go directly for, I want to date you, I'm attracted to you, I want a relationship with you.
They just won't go for it.
No, I'm not. No.
All right.
No, that's you.
Okay.
You've never been able to pull that off.
I guess not.
All right.
What do you do? Do you go to school?
I'm a pilot, and I frequently, catch up on that and hone my skills in the industry. So,
you're flying a 747 or what?
Well, I mean, right now I'm just flying to get into my CFI, which is Certified Flight Instructor, and stuff like that, and multi-engine rating, which would make me be able to fly things like that.
So you're training to be a pilot.
Yeah, well, I am a pilot, but I'm training to be a professional pilot.
Right, but you're going to flight school.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you're not going to school. You're going to flight school.
No.
And you don't meet many women, I'm guessing, there.
You'd be surprised, actually.
All right, well, then go ahead and score. But look, here's what we're hearing in you.
All right.
We're hearing someone who's a little bit scattered.
Yeah.
And women do not respond to that at all.
Well, I know what I want. I just don't want, a one-night stand, hanky-panky kind of relationship, because I guess I'm more of a stable person.
None of
his answers have anything to do with our questions.
I know. He's gonna
or statements.
And there's a little smack of desperation. And even the tiniest whiff of that, and you're just done for.
I know,
for.
I'm screwed, yeah.
Right. And so how do you get confidence when you have no conquest to build on? You just keep going forward. I mean, what is he, 18?
Yeah.
Yes, everybody's a mess at 18.
Yeah, come on.
All bets are off.
Your expectations. At least you have girlfriends.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the younger ones, are too immature, and then the older ones look at you like, well, you're too young.
Well, get some of your friends to set you up on dates.
Yeah.
They think so much of you, you're such a great friend. If it's true, they'll set you up on dates. And as soon as their friends respond to you, magically they'll be attracted too. That's the irony of women, isn't it?
And he's also a guy where guys... You see, women don't bloom differently than men. As much as you'd like to think they do. No. They bloom sexually. I mean, there's who aren't interested in sex at 17 or 18 and who are very much interested in sex at 28 or 38.
Yeah.
But in terms of their where they go on the open market, there's usually not a whole bunch of fluctuation.
I'm not following you.
You're not?
No.
What are you, retard?
No, I don't. Where they go?
Women, you show me a woman who is very attractive to men at 18, and I'll show you a woman who's very attractive to men when she's 22.
Attractive to men.
Attractive.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I see men change.
When
yeah,
she was
got
16.
It.
Guys change drastically.
Drastically, yes.
I mean, there are guys like Kenneth over here who may be a bumbling mess at 18, and at 28... has his commercial's pilot license, got himself some shoes with some buckles on it and some new frames for his glasses, and is nailing every stewardess in the airport.
Tell me you didn't go through a period of time where you didn't actually repel women. They'd run screaming. Yeah, okay.
Well, just a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, most guys will undergo this transformation in their lifetime in a very short period of time. I mean, there's a lot of guys. There's some guys that were cool all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 5-10%.
They're born with that.
And then there's some guys who'll never get anything.
Born with that.
And they're born with that. That's why I need to kick my dad in the nuts again. And then there are guys who undergo the transformation, and that's probably the majority of them, or at least quite a few of them.
I was meeting a patient. I got to share a story with you. I'm meeting a patient, and I was asking about his family. He goes, yeah, my dad. He goes, Adam describes his dad. That's my dad.
Oh, really? Maybe it's my brother. Sad. All right, so Kenneth at 18 is shaky.
Yeah.
Okay?
He'll be fine.
Just keep pushing forward. Don't do all the questioning. And don't do that whole process of elimination thing so you're left with nothing. You know when you do that thing where you go, well, girls younger than me are too immature. And then girls who are older than me don't want anything to do with a guy my age.
And every time I go up to one, she just wants to be a friend. Every time.
And then the girls who are exactly my age think it's too weird that they're exactly my age. So you've just effectively eliminated the entire planet from dating you. Don't do that. Don't play that game. If you're attracted to somebody...
In fact, I think that's the whole point. Don't play any game. Just get into your ass. Do your flying. Focus on that. And magically... you'll become attracted to somebody.
That's
some of
them right.
are attracted to you.
That's right. Lindsay?
Yeah, hi.
Hey,
I just wanted to say, I thought your joke... and
wait, Lindsay, wait, Lindsay, we didn't hear any of that. What's that?
Oh, I think all of Adam's jokes are funny.
That's right. Vegetarian.
I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Jack Dean?
Jack Dean. Yeah. Oh, that's solid. You had to be there, too. A hot-looking chick holding her knee in a pair of short shorts.
Okay, so Dr. Drew, my boyfriend has a, like, I don't know. I guess it's a problem, I think, but I don't really have that much experience, so I don't know. But whenever his penis is erect, it's always constantly coming. Like, it's constantly...
He's got a leaky gasket.
You mean it's dribbling?
Dribbler.
Well, it's, like, more than a dribble. And, like, I think it's, like, a lot.
Yeah, but hold on. It can't really be more than a dribble. I mean, it's not as if the spigot is just turned on a little bit. It's not a steady flow. It would be drops.
No, it's a lot. It's a really... I mean...
Some guys have a lot. They really do have quite a... And that's really not pre-cum. It's pre-cum, but it's a lubricant that the prostate puts out.
But listen, here's the deal. A very little seems like a lot. I mean, it can stain your pants. It can make a mess of things. But it's not like...
It's normal, too. But it's also stuff that can get you pregnant, so be careful.
You understand?
Yeah, you got the next caller.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Wait, where the hell was she on, too?
Yeah.
Lindsay?
Yeah.
All right, there's nothing he can do about it.
Really?
Is that a heartbreaker?
It's so gross. Right, Lindsay? Like,
yeah.
What's so gross about it?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not used to it, and I just think that
it's normal. It's normal.
But it's so like such a turnoff, and I can't. It doesn't. I don't even like to like do anything down there because.
Oh boy! Now, how does it get in the way?
Because no matter what I do, it's always like there. Like I can't even like touch his pants or his underwear or anything without like feeling it. I don't know.
I don't know why this is so funny, but it's funny. Yeah, Drew. What about breaking a Q-tip off in your urethra or something?
Ain't gonna work.
Really? Do you take medicine?
Nope.
Now, what about doing some like Kegel type exercise or something like working on that muscle down there?
Or maybe he should sort of keep it evacuated.
Meaning he beats off earlier?
More, yeah.
But Drew, seriously, what about, you know?
I mean, if you were leaking urine all the time, wouldn't you want to just empty the bladder? Right?
Yeah. Right, is that it?
Why not?
Oh, those guys. I don't got an ounce of that.
Leak?
Not ever. Not ever.
You got a good gasket.
Yeah, not ever. I mean, you know, when I was 18, I could sit in a dark theater and watch 70 hours of hardcore porn with an erection that I had when I walked into the theater, and it would be the same one I had leaving the theater.
Nobody else's, just
after
yours.
70, same erection. After 70 hours of porn, you could take a small piece of tissue paper and try to stick it to the end of my erect penis, and it would just flutter down to the ground.
I just, you and your friends would gather together and try to do that? Is it sort of...
Yeah, we call it the flutter test.
It's nice. But you got to set the stage for our listeners.
65 hours normally.
Set the stage for our listeners so they understand. They're probably confused by what you're describing here. Some 30 years ago, the lonely male would have to gather with other males in a theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no videos. There was no DVDs. There was
no
theater that you'd go to and watch pornography, right?
And my buddy Zeb worked at the Pussycat. Silver in Lancashire and Ventura. I mean, in North Hollywood. And he was there wearing his pink gi, you know, inside the box. It was always great. What a humiliating place to be. It's like you're on display. You're right on the street, you know? And, we'd sneak in there. And listen, you think it sucks to go into a real crowded movie when you're watching an action movie. Try watching porn.
With your buddies.
No, with just a group of dudes.
Males, yeah.
You wish
it was
your buddies.
Well, at least it's usually the more savory types that would be in those theaters, right?
Wait a minute, my earphones went on the fritz. What's that?
It'd be the more savory types that would be in those
theaters,
right?
That's right, upper crust types. Yeah, yeah. A lot of ascots, monogram blazers.
Oh.
Yeah. Imagine what kind of guys were in there. It's 2:30 on a Wednesday.
Oh.
And these guys have been camped in there since 11 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're showing a triple feature. I mean, talk about torture. They're, you know, the vast majority of them are not beating off. They're just drinking it all in. And they're going to beat off in the car on the way home or explode at the concession stand or something. But could you imagine? Imagine watching. I know when I explain this to my kids or your kids, Drew, which I'm going to have this conversation with them very soon.
That's nice.
It's going to sound just alien that you would sit in a crowded theater and watch pornography.
I can imagine kids that age like grabbing their sides and laughing until they bust a gut. It would sound the funniest thing of all time to them.
If I would have said to somebody in that theater, hey, listen, and I missed this by a few years.
Calm down, in 5 years.
If I would have said, listen, you see this pornography? Yeah. You can have it so that it's at your home, and you could stop it, and you could rewind it, and you could fast forward it, and you could freeze frame it. You could do all that. What? How much? It'd be like, $200 a whack. Easily. Could have been a billionaire if I could have bottled that technology and brought it home in 1978. All right. Well, anyway. The pussycat. And they had the big marquee, you know, and it'd be 3 or 4 movies playing, and you'd be walking down the street, it'd be the same theater. You know, you drive past, it'd be the same movie in there for 6 months.
What were the movies like?
They were bad 70s porno movies, you know, shot on film.
So it's like the stuff that Boogie Nights was made about.
Yeah, and you'd have to endure the whole movie. I mean, you know, you'd be sitting there, and you'd be watching the credits, and what's, you know, upcoming features and all that horrible dialogue and a guy driving his car down that some street, you know, and they're all filmed where I grew up, essentially. So I would recognize some of the street. It was like me watching Adam 12, you know, they shot all that stuff in the valley. Yeah. Hey, that's the 180. Hey, my buddy Mark lives on that street. Hey, that's my buddy Mark's mom. Hey, you're banging my buddy. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good times. Jesse?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes.
You depressed?
No. Okay. I'm just a little sick right now.
What's the matter?
What's up?
I got the flu.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this today. You know, when I see, every time I go to my office now, I see the usual, you know, mid-fall allergies, sinusitis, bronchitis, upper respiratory infections.
Yeah.
Everyone now to me, I've got to think, okay, is this anthrax? Is this smallpox? Is this prodrome?
Yeah.
Everyone.
Well, it's not, but you got to think that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up there, Jesse? Well, you don't have to think that, but go ahead.
Well, we're being encouraged to think that way now.
Well, I wanted to know about, is it healthy for you to swallow semen?
What do you mean by healthy?
Like, well, I overheard it that if you swallow semen, it's like, it's not bad and it's okay. That's something about it having vitamins in it. I don't know.
It's not good for you. I mean, it's not going to enhance your health, okay? There's no special quality to it that's going to be good for you.
It should be, though.
It should be, but it isn't. And there is a potential of getting sexually transmitted diseases that way, particularly the viral STDs. So, there are, you know, there's some reasons not to, but...
You got a boyfriend?
Yeah, I do.
And you're thinking about swallowing his semen?
Yeah, well, there's times where I don't know if I would, that it would give him even more pleasure or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You're 16.
He's getting enough pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You don't want to spoil it for him.
Yeah, he'll have nothing to live for.
All right.
You just finish him off. That's all he cares about.
It'd be another part of the vegetarian diet, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Remain a vegetarian.
You don't have to swallow it, though. Are you talking about during oral sex?
Yes.
Well, as opposed to what?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes people eat semen. You know, you never done that, Drew?
No.
You never ordered like a side of semen when you got a
plate of semen?
Well, you get on the side. So some places have ranch, others have semen.
Semen,
you know,
plate.
They get like a Reuben sandwich. You went on some. Some people like put fries in it. Jesse?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Okay.
All right, just don't. You know, how do you finish him off now? You just let him go.
Yeah, just let him go.
You move your head away.
Well, yeah.
All right. But, you know, you could keep your head there and then just spit it out in the garbage can. You want to do that?
She's 16, Adam.
She's 18, isn't she?
18.
Oh.
Yeah, that's different. Mm. You should be doing anal by now.
Nope.
All right, Jesse, let's take care of that. And are you using protection? What kind of birth control are you on?
Oh, condoms.
All right. Condoms only, huh?
Well, if you got a boyfriend, you get on the pill, okay?
Right.
You also get that emergency contraceptive. Keep it around in case the condom breaks or falls off.
There you go. Don't make me give my speech about not having to swallow it, but just having to receive it and transport it.
Be a vehicle for transport, receptacle for transport.
Well, I look at my semen as garbage, which is I want to drag it out front of the balls and have him pick it up once a week.
Yeah.
But whether they dump it into my neighbor's yard or throw it in a landfill or burn it, I don't care. Just pick it up.
Get rid of it.
Move it on out. That's all I care about. I mean, just as long as they don't, you know, spit it into the ceiling fan or something, which has happened on way more than one occasion, Drew. Joe?
Hello?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Joe?
Yeah.
Did you confuse yourself, honey?
No. What am I supposed to say?
Did you call with a question?
Oh, I just wanted to know if, like, do you guys have, like, PhDs or anything?
Drew does.
I have an MD.
Oh, really? Can I ask you where you got it?
USC.
Oh, I just wanted to know.
Okay.
Oh, and can I ask one more question?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask how old you guys are?
37.
43.
And 43.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Why? What's going on in your head, Joe?
No, it's just like you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are like old.
We're like Dick Clark.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Do you know who Dick Clark is?
No.
Ooh. She doesn't know what Bactine is, see? You have to translate that whole joke for her.
Oh,
no, I heard that joke.
Yeah. Bactine. Do you know what Bactine is?
Yeah, no.
Okay, so you know?
But I have a funnier joke.
Hold on. Okay. Anderson, good news. I think we may have... Tara. We may have found someone who knows less than you. Hold on.
She's excited. Oh, really?
Hello?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, Joe, tell the joke.
Okay. I heard it from my friend. Okay, there's this couple, and there's a guy, and there's a girl, and they're married. And the guy's a virgin. And so the guy doesn't know how to have sex, right? And so he goes to his dad, and he goes, "Hey, Dad, I don't know how to have sex." And so dad goes, "All right, it's okay, son. Here, take this walkie-talkie, and I'll lead you through the whole thing." And then he goes, "All right." And so he takes the walkie-talkie and takes his now wife to a hotel room. And they're, like, all in the hotel and everything. And then he goes, "Dad, what do I do?" And then dad goes, "Okay, just set the mood." And he goes, "Okay." And he sets the mood. He, like, dims the lights. And I'm not done.
No, keep going. You're doing good.
And he dims the lights. And then he puts on music and everything. And then he goes, "Dad, what do I do?" And then he goes, "All right, son. Now, just put her on the bed somehow." And he goes, "All right, Dad." And then he gets her on the bed.
Put her on the bed.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then he goes, he puts her on the bed. And he goes, "Dad, what do I do?" And then dad goes, "All right, just take off all her clothes." And then he does. And then he goes, "Dad, what do I do?" Start kissing her and rubbing her in places. And then he goes, "All right." And he does it. And then he goes, "Dad, what do I do now?" He goes, the dad goes, "You know that thing that you and me both have?" And the son goes, "Yeah." "Stick it up her ass." And he goes, "All right." And he takes the walkie-talkie and shoves it up her ass.
Oh, yeah, I got the walkie-talkie up her ass. That's good. Okay. That's a pretty long way to go, but... yeah. Here's the problem with that joke.
Payoff?
Fundamentally, here's the problem. When you're getting near the punchline because it's been 20-25 minutes now. Yeah. And the walkie-talkie's a little bit of a stretch. And when he says, "You know that thing that you and I both have," all people with any sense of humor go right to the walkie-talkie at that point.
Right.
See, even you, Drew, went to the walkie-talkie because of the wording.
Too obvious.
The wording's a little weak at the end.
I see. All right, so you got to make it.
Dad, what do I do?
So make it more mysterious.
Yes,
you know, the thing that
everybody with an IQ went right to the walkie-talkie. Yeah. You always try to figure out the punchline if it's a joke you haven't heard as you go because there's a sort of a riddle element to it. Mm-hmm. And the thing we both have, you go to the walkie-talkie.
Fair enough.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We'll be back to explain more comedy to you after this. Uh-oh.
Oh, yes! Loveline, we'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. You know, something I notice as an adult.
Yeah? Nicely phrased.
I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but I live alone, I sleep alone, and it's hard to blame smells on other people when you live alone.
All right.
I'll get up in the morning after a good 8 hours, head into the next room, go do something, and then come back into the bedroom and give that...
Whoa.
Hey.
Who's been here?
What went on here?
Yeah.
What's up in here?
A little misty, a little funk.
A little bad breath, a little B.O. Like, what's going on in here? And I'd love to blame it on, you know, some nationality or some other being. But I realize, no, I just spent the last 8 hours funking up the room.
Yeah.
And now I left. And now I'm back and it's me. Yeah, it's definitely me.
The Funkmeister.
It's not too bad, but it's definitely a little, hey, what's this? And I don't know what that is, Drew. I think maybe a little gas. I should sleep with the windows open or something, or turn the... Actually, the fan is on.
Mm-hmm.
Could be worse.
You can wash your sheets once in a while.
Here, ooh. What are those things called?
Mm, sheets. Oh, you don't use sheets. Ooh.
They come off of the mat. That's not part of the mattress then,
no,
right?
No.
Oh, that's right, because the mattress was different when I got it. Yeah. You ever go into a guy's room that has been, drinking all night and passed out? Like, you ever go roust one of your buddies? You don't do that, Drew.
Well, not
you don't,
to do
you, don't
that.
You don't have male friends.
But patient comes in. I can't
I know
exactly what you're talking about.
Man, I mean, I could remember going over to my buddies, like, going over to the Weeze's house on Sunday at, like, 1 in the afternoon. And he was still in bed because, he'd been sleeping, banging. His parents are like, yeah, he's in his room. Go get him up, Stayed up smoking weed and drinking until 3 in the morning, and it's a small room, and the space heater's on. Now, here's the real killer. During the winter, you turn that space heater on, but you don't shut it off. So by noon the next day, it's 97 degrees in the room, but you're so loaded and passed out. It's just, and you've been belching up that alcohol and blowing gas all night. It's a little room, and you just open the door, and that big wave of hot stink comes out. And the person has no idea because they're just living in it. Yeah, that's living, brother. Oops.
Oh.
I don't know what I did.
I'm up on 4.
Oh.
Put a whole trip. Hit 4 again. Now, quick.
Really?
You there?
I'm here.
Okay, what's going on?
How you doing? I want to know about anthrax. What? I hear about it in the news. I want to know what the symptoms are and what exactly does it do to your system.
What's your name and how old are you?
I am Doug, and my name is Doug, and I'm 30.
All right.
Basically, it overwhelms. I mean, it's a hard thing to describe unless you have sort of medical training, but it overwhelms your system. You get a tremendous pneumonia. It actually gets into your gut and eats through the wall of the gut. And once it gets established, no amount of treatment really does much.
I was told that the spores get into your lungs, clog up the pores, and it grows, and then it explodes, and it fills your lungs with fluid.
That's called pneumonia. That's called pneumonia. It's just an overwhelming pneumonia.
All right, well, let's talk about this for 1 second, mm-hmm. because I'm sure people have a lot of questions about this. And I'm a layman, so I'll just approach it from that standpoint. There's different types of anthrax, right?
Different genetic strains, yeah.
And there's a type that subcutaneous stuff that gets in through your skin.
That's how you're exposed to it more than the type of bug.
So
if it's sitting on the table here and you touch it and you have a small cut in your skin,
right.
Now you have cutaneous anthrax.
I see. Or there's the stuff you could... ingest, or you
if
could
it's powder,
inhale.
Yeah,
but
it's a powder.
But it's more the how fine it is, right? I mean, if it's in a powdered form, it'd be much easier to inhale.
The powder is designed to be inhaled. That's why they put it in powder.
Right. So I mean, it's the same. It's like drugs. It's like you can snort heroin, or you can shoot it, mm-hmm. or you can smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same drug.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't shoot the stuff you were supposed to snort unless you made it into a different form.
Right.
Boy, am I good. Do I ever get credit for this
I'll
kind
give
of
you
stuff?
Credit. Keep going.
I always have to stop. Thanks, Ann.
But that's the route of...
the moray eel from the fish tank. Just give it a two thumbs up.
That's the route of exposure.
Okay. So, but I'm a layman, and I think everyone who's listening is. And
yeah.
I just want to clarify this stuff. Because they do make it seem as if there's three different. But and they even talk about some... forms being more dangerous than others,
yes.
Meaning the stuff that you inhale could be worse than the stuff that you,
The skin is no problem.
The skin is an easier form.
Skin can be treated.
Skin can be treated.
No problem.
So now, then the stuff that is coming via the mail.
Yes.
Obviously, that could be inhaled, but it'd be more apt to get it through your skin?
They're clearly trying. All you got to do is, you know, when you open the letter, pow, it's in the air. Now you couple people inhale it. The problem is you don't know you've inhaled it. It's doing its work before you really realize you're getting sick.
Right.
And that's where the hell breaks loose.
Okay, now the skin stuff would not get in unless there was a cut or something like that.
Which is, you know, any little cuticle thing will do it.
Yeah, but is it almost like AIDS that way?
No, HIV? No.
Much easier to get in?
Much.
But your average person, I mean, you're...
Would get it.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm looking at my hand. I don't see anything.
Look at the little thing around my fingernails.
Pull this penis out. Why?
I just wanted to look at it.
Listen, you're paranoid, though, Drew. I don't have any cuts on my hand. Do you think it would get in through my hand?
Yes, microscopic cuts.
Well, then it doesn't really need it. And then they shouldn't phrase it that way.
Okay, all right. Just touch
it. Because when they say it enters through a cut in your hand, you're thinking, okay, I have no visible cut on my hand. I'm safe. But you're saying if it'll get in under your fingernail and absorb that way anyway.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so that just gets in through touching it.
Yes.
Although Drew's pretty paranoid, so you never know. He could be lying or exaggerating a little bit here.
Well, you got to understand that we have very little experience with this organism in this country.
Right. Okay.
So it's something, this is how we understand it.
So you got this stuff, you can inhale it.
Mm-hmm.
You can have it enter through your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the kind that enters... Is there a third way through...
The stuff you're coughing up and stuff eventually gets down into your gut now. You swallow some of that and pow, and it keeps going.
But I'm guessing if you put some on your tongue, you'd get it too, right?
I don't know. I'm guessing you're right, but I don't know how that would work. I've never seen that kind of thing described.
Okay. And then as far as these medicines to counteract this stuff... It's not going to do anything if you're on it and you don't get it. I mean, what I'm saying is those people that think they're going to take it and it's going to make them...
Not get it
are incorrect.
Incorrect.
You would take it only after you got it.
Right.
So hoarding the stuff is kind of ridiculous.
I don't want to speak out of turn relative to the public health community, but... Here's, I think, what people's rationale is for hoarding Cipro.
They want to have it.
Yeah, just in case there's some massive catastrophe, I've got mine.
Right.
Not I plan to take it, not I'm going to treat myself. It's just, geez, if there's a shortage, you know, I'm also going to have water and a generator.
Right.
And that's, I think, the mentality that's taking this. The problem would be is if people start taking the Cipro, we're going to have a real serious public health problem with other bacteria becoming terribly resistive to this very important medication.
Right. Because in nature, wherever there's a move, there's a counter move.
That's right. The bacteria will figure out how to get around us.
No free lunch, as Drew likes to say.
That's right.
All right. So you have this stuff, and you have to take this stuff for like 60 days.
60 days.
And you take one pill a day or 10 pills a day.
Two a day, typically.
And the pills aren't real cheap. They're like $4 or $5 a pill or something.
$4 or $5 a day, yeah.
$4 or $5 a day, and that's going to eliminate a lot of our listening audience.
Right now, pal.
And taking it in advance is not going to stop anything.
Right.
Now, this thing takes a while. I mean, you could get this infected with anthrax and not feel any effects for a number of weeks.
A week or two, that's right.
A week or two, but not a month?
I would think not.
And the problem is by the time the symptoms come around...
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble, but is it a death sentence?
No, but it is somewhat dependent on the dose you inhaled
and
the virulence of the strain. It could be a death sentence.
And the form.
Yeah.
And the way it got into you, perhaps? Once it's in, it's in?
Inhaled. No, it's in.
No, I mean, you said inhaled, but they were saying that the subcutaneous stuff was a better way of getting it.
We can treat that one.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that one is no problem.
Well, that's what I mean. So it's all inhaled.
The inhaled
is what we're
one
talking
is the problem.
About.
Yeah, that's the problem.
All right. And so then what should somebody do? I mean, now what about the people that are on the antibiotic who have tested negative for it and they're taking it as a precaution?
Or what about the people that carry the bacteria, like in their nose, they swabbed it out, but they don't have evidence of infection yet? I think they'd probably keep those people on 60 days, I suspect.
Now, if I was exposed to it,
mm-hmm.
and then I got tested immediately and had no sign of it,
mm-hmm.
why should I take
this?
You
shouldn't. If you're clear, free and clear, then that's it.
And how do they test for it? They take some blood?
Nasal swabs and things.
Would it be in your...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, you know, we're just spending a lot of time on anthrax, but Anthrax is small potatoes compared to what I think we're going to see in the not-too-distant future, which is smallpox.
Smallpox?
That is going to be some heavy ass.
You're saying anthrax is small potatoes compared to something that's the word small right in the beginning of it?
That's right.
That kind of logic doesn't make sense.
We don't want
sense
you to confuse it with bigpox.
Sure, you really know how to sell it.
Yeah.
This is nothing compared. This is dwarfed by
smallpox.
Yeah. So you think that's worse? Why is that worse?
That is no treatment. It's extremely contagious. They're talking about these guys infecting themselves and then just walking through malls and infecting, you know, thousands of people.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and there's no treatment. There's a vaccine, but not enough vaccine to cover, you know, anything.
Well,
the military's control of the vaccine now.
Well, the vaccine, would you have to be vaccinated before you got it?
Yeah.
So once you get it, that's it?
Well, I've never seen this. I've seen some evidence to suggest that they would, if it's early, that the vaccine may have some effect in fighting it, maybe.
Now, here's the thing that's crazy about smallpox is we had it eliminated, but we kept it alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really right out of some sort of...
Tom Clancy novel.
Right, right. Yeah. I was going back even further than that, but crazy science fiction to think that this thing killed millions and millions of people throughout history, right?
Yep.
And what was it? Up until the turn of the century,
That's right.
A little beyond, right?
That's right.
And then we got it under control, and we eliminated it, but we kept it. We kept it alive.
Yeah.
And it's like, wasn't it in some basement in Russia or something? I mean, what does that mean? I mean, we had the actual...
Virus? Yeah.
And it was only in one place?
It's like Jurassic Park, some little thing left behind.
Yeah, who? And the Russians had it? Mm-hmm. And what? We must have had one too, right?
Yep.
And now how do people then get the Russians? I mean, how did they get it? Don't know. But there was a point in time, maybe in the 60s or 70s, where we could have wiped it off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to make it extinct, in other words. And
well, the man, you know...
Maybe it'll come back to haunt us. Okay. We'll take a little break. Jeez, I don't know. Lightning round? Huh? Drew doesn't like it. What do you think? No? Ann's yawning.
No. I'd have to talk about anthrax and smallpox.
Ann's yawning and saying no. I wish you got out of face. All right, good. Hey, no skin off my ass, kiddies. Save me some syllables. We'll be back. Everybody. Oh, that's my theme song. Hey, jacket flung over the shoulder. Remember with the one finger holding it up?
Oh, yeah. That's a cool move.
Shooting looks to everybody. Not actually pointing, but giving the nod. You know, when I recognize people.
This music playing in your head, and this music playing as we see you come in.
That's right. So I say to the bartender, give me the usual, and he goes, I don't know who you are, man. Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Michael. It says he knows the history of smallpox. Michael?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey. Yeah, Drew was mentioning how smallpox was kept in Russia.
Adam was saying that, yeah.
Yeah. What they did in Russia is they kept it there for bioweapons research for a little while. And now they still have it in that lab. It's actually one of the worst strains there is because it was designed for weaponizing.
Right.
So now it's a shame. The lab is poorly guarded and it's just run down.
I got to imagine with our, you know, recent communications and almost alliance with that part of the world, and that we're aware that they have things like this, acutely aware of it, the powers that be, that we wouldn't be in some contact with them and helping them beef up security a little bit.
Yeah, the theory is that the Russian mafia got a hold of it.
That's
the theory.
Get it. The Russian mafia can get a hold of it from a factory or from the lab and just sell it to the highest bidder.
Right.
I mean, they're not too well known for their scruples.
Right. So, you know anything else about smallpox?
Well, I've actually been helping with some of this stuff for about 2 years now.
Why? Doing what?
There's some groups that are run by civilians to
prepare hospitals for this kind of thing.
Huh.
Yeah, I can give you some more resources off the air if you're interested in learning more.
Why not on the air?
Too many to list on the air.
All right, so what else do you know, Michael?
Well,
Michael, I don't want to bust your chops, but you essentially called and told me what we'd talked about before we went to break, which is the Russians have this smallpox.
I like to know is that this is something I don't hear in the media enough, is what should people actually do to prepare? I think it's really unfair to tell the people, hey, this is awful thing, come and enjoy.
Well, what can you do to
prepare? Well, that's the question. I think there should be some suggestions offered. Do you have anything, Michael?
Mm.
Oh, boy. Well, with that being said.
He's in charge of the CDC, by the way, is my choice.
Yeah.
Well, all right, everybody.
People need to be vigilant. People in the hospitals need to watch for bizarre disease patterns.
Oh.
And one other common sign is in a pharmacy, somebody might notice that all the cold medicines are flying off the shelf. And from this, people can do, have you heard of the rapid flu test?
Mm-hmm.
How does that go?
That somebody goes into the hospital, they get the flu test, and it gives a definitive yes or no if they have the flu.
And that's how you detect flu epidemics starting out.
Right.
All right.
So if everybody comes in with a flu-like illness and doesn't have the flu, then that's suspicious.
Watch out.
Is that how smallpox would present, as we say,
yes,
in the
lay community?
Lay community?
It would look kind of like the flu to start with.
All right. Well, yeah. Wealth of knowledge, I might.
How about if we all dressed up like Bubble Boy?
Yeah.
There you go.
All of us.
Why don't you get those resources from him on line six?
Let's say it that way.
Well, listen, here's the deal.
Line six.
Drew, you're trying to get answers from young Michael. We didn't have any answers, but I don't think there are any answers.
I would hope that somebody would think through a sort of preparedness recommendation for you people. Because there's always stuff that can be done.
Well, but in terms of precautionary stuff, what would it be?
You know, for instance, I mean, people need to feel like they're in control of their destiny a little bit.
I like the feeling of just flying through outer space drunk at a million miles an hour and having zero control of my
destiny.
And
none of us are surprised by that. But
thank you.
Just the idea that if there are going to be quarantines, how do you prepare for that? You need a month worth of food in your house if your household's going to be quarantined? How do you prepare for this? You have a room set aside?
You mean if there's a smallpox outbreak and you're told, hey, don't go to the mall.
There you go.
Don't go to the market. Don't go to places that are populated.
That's right.
Stay in your home. Well, how long would you have to stay in
your
home?
How long would
you
stay in your home?
But see, here's the problem. I think, quite frankly, and I know Drew's angry at that. Well, it's really fear that's turned to anger. It's urine that's turned to S is what it is with Drew. But I don't think there's an answer. See, when the answer is too scary and unsatisfactory, and it's like stay in your house for an indefinite period of time, that's not an answer. You know what I mean? It's like when people say to you, how is it that I make sure I don't get AIDS? And you say, don't have sex. That's not really an answer.
But I find it.
See what I'm saying?
But that is an answer that you can at least work with. I think it's far more unacceptable to say, hey, don't prepare.
But look at this country and look at people's mentality, and everybody doesn't have your education or your IQ. We're all far smarter than you are. Now, if you say to the average John Q. public, hey, listen, you may have to hold up in your house for 6 months, everything would fly off the shelves immediately. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, they cannot do that responsibly.
Right.
And they don't have an answer, so they're not going to give one.
Yeah.
And the answer's too tough, so forget it.
All right.
That's what's going on. Okay. Thank you. Gene?
Hello?
You're 21?
Uh-huh.
What's up, Gene?
You're young and alive?
Yeah. Somewhat.
Okay. That's a song, you know.
Is it?
From long ago.
Never heard that one.
What's up?
No. Mm-hmm. I have a bladder problem. It's really embarrassing. I mean, I'm only 21, and I'm in college, and I'll be talking with a professor, or I'll be at the grocery store in line, and just all of a sudden have an uncontrollable release, you know?
Wow. Have you had a child?
No.
And your whole bladder empties?
Yeah.
Ooh. Is it when you're coughing or sneezing, something like that?
No, it's not like that at all.
Are you on medication?
I'm only taking ortho tricycline right now.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
This birth control.
Oof. Yeah, you got to do your Kegel exercises, I guess. Boy.
Well, that's bad times. Wow. And let me tell you something. It's dripping down your leg now, but when you're in your 40s, it's going to be knocking people over. I mean, it'll just be flying out of you.
There are medications.
And number two.
You really need a thorough urologic evaluation to see if there's a problem, whether it's a spastic bladder or problems holding the urine.
Well, I don't even have, enough time. It's not like a sneeze where you know, okay, here it comes, and you grab a...
How long has this been going on for?
Just for, a couple weeks.
Gene, you need to get this checked out. I'm dead serious about this.
Okay.
I mean, even things like MS can present like this. I don't want to scare you, but this is not something that's normal for a 21-year-old.
Oh, God.
Hey, Gene.
Uh-huh.
You never heard the song, Gene, you're young and alive.
Okay, it sounds wonderful.
Do you know that song?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
They do, because your name's Gene, right?
Yeah.
Your parents made sure you heard it?
Yeah.
Gene, do you take
baths? Okay, good.
I have a question. Do you take baths?
On occasion.
If you take a bath, do you have any trouble getting out of the bathtub or pain or anything when you're in the bathtub?
No.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. And then we can smell you from here. That's why I was asking.
God.
No, go get that checked out. Yeah, see, listen, parents, if you name your kid a name and there's a song with that name in it, it's incumbent on you to
teach them the song.
Teach them the song, yeah. Sometimes I hear a kid with a name and there's a song and they don't know the name. I don't know the song.
The temerity of those parents.
Yeah, that's bad parenting.
How dare they?
Harrison, you know the Gene song? You want me to sing it again?
No.
Okay.
There we go.
We'll be back.
Hey, do you know the Adam song?
Yeah. Adam, Bobanum, Fanana.
No, it's a Blink-182 song, but apparently you don't know it.
The Blink? Oh, yeah, I do know the Adam song. Yeah. How dare you? Blink, they're personal friends of mine. I know those boys.
Dear friends.
Dear friends of mine. We'll be back.
A little walk through musical history here.
Yeah, true.
Nice.
All right, everybody. That's the week. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank Damien for doing a great job on the phones all week long. I want to thank Tara. Yeah. Tara, don't call me Tara. Yeah. No. For doing a great job on the phones and the coffee and everything else around here. Lauren, is she standing up back there?
No.
Jump up, Lauren. Let's see if I can see your head. No, she's not here now?
At home reading about anthrax.
Oh, I see. I want to thank producer Ann for just doing a spectacular job. I mean, Lit, Ozzy Osbourne, Smash Mouth.
Phenomenal.
Great week. Tony Hawk coming up next week, Travis next week. Just booking some world-class guests on the show.
Firestarter.
And I want to thank engineer Anderson for sliding them potentiometers.
Oh, boy.
And putting in wonderful drops like that. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
No, it's just you guys seem like teenagers.
Yeah.
Your voices are old.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.
Oh, no. Let's all take a vote. No war. Take the flag down. It offends people who aren't from... Oh, there's such a big pack of pussies over there in Berkeley.